He was the younger man at this point in time. Because too often times we set and focus on when he got older. And all his wives and concubines turned his heart against the Lord. Okay? And then when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, he was probably at the end of it, at the end of what he had gone through. And he says, man, it's all vanity. All that I did, you know, even now, is all it's all emptiness. And I have read the book of Ecclesiastes, and I tell you, for me, it is one of the most depressing books I have ever read in the Bible. Okay? Because all is vanity. All is just empty. Oh, woe is me, you know? It's like, wow. It seems like there is no hope except until you get to the end chapter when he says this is the whole story of man, to serve God when you're younger. And to keep with God. But anyway, we're on the character Solomon when he was a young man. Okay, when he was more mature. And he had had a couple of years of kingship under his belt. And we know that when he started out, he asked God, who am I? Or when God asked him the question, ask me and I'll give it to you. And he said, well, who am I to teach your people? You know, when I first started teaching, that was what my thought. I said, who am I to teach your people? Especially, they wanted me to do a thing in Sunday morning. In the church that I was in, we started at 9:45, and from 9:45 to 10 o'clock, we had a devotion and a couple songs and a devotion, and we dismissed for Sunday school. Okay? That's the American Baptist Association way. If you don't do it that way, you're not part of the American Baptist Association. And every ABA church we were in, did that way. And it's like, oh, wow, okay. And so they said, do that. And here I am, newly saved, 18, probably 18 at that point in time, 17. Yeah, not even saved 6 months. I said, wow. And they put me up there. Okay, didn't know nothing. You know? Sometimes you say things that just, without knowledge, that you shouldn't have said. It's taken me a while to get to say things. For most of the times, I say what I say. I have some good to say, but and that's where Solomon wrote the book of Song of Solomon when he was younger, full of passion and pride and everything. And then now we got this book of Proverbs, which is a mature book. Okay, a book that teaches us things that Christians ought to be more circumspect in life. Okay? Have a more world view about things that are going on. I mean, we can decry the war in Ukraine, we can decry slavery and all this other stuff, but there's got to be a biblical, spiritual basis for it. Okay? Not just something that we feel in our heart. Here in the United States, we have this individual spirit. Just live in Idaho for a while, you'll see it. We do things on our own, okay? And it's the individual spirit. Well, that's all well and good, except that where is that in the place of God's will? Where is that in the place of how God will have you to live? Okay? I've come to the conclusion. It is the place where it is that where God wants you to be not dependent on government, not dependent on other people, but on him. Okay. Preppers, I used to laugh at them, even though I was semi-one, because they want to rely on themselves. Okay, that's all there is to it. Gather all my stuff together, gather my people together, and rely on myself. Well, they got it half right. Gather your stuff together, take care of family, you know, because the end of the world happens at various times. The end of your environment happens more often than the other world, okay? And so you got to be prepared for it, you know? But also be prepared in the eyes of God where you trust God, okay? In Haggai, there was this one verse that we read that said, consider yourself. Okay? Have you done that here in the last couple of weeks? Stop every day, consider yourself. And it's like, man, I consider myself a man. I can't... There are some things I don't understand. Okay? I feel better about some things knowing that the doctors found out what's wrong. They just got to figure out how to fix it. But it's like one of those things. It's like, you know, okay, now I know I have a better understanding of things. Because knowledge is power. Knowledge is understanding. Knowledge is wisdom. We also looked at the heart where your treasure is. We saw that Solomon's treasure at this point was with God, was toward God, the things of God. The people, when he first started out, the people of God were his treasure. God, I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to stand up there and do something that would hurt somebody. Okay? That's New Testament too, isn't it? If you teach somebody wrong or say something wrong to somebody and you offend them, the burden's on you to get it right. Okay? The secondary burden is on them to come and tell you. Because how can you fix a problem if you don't know? And then, we looked on the treasure, and we also looked at where Jesus was talking about where the treasure of your heart is. He said, consider the ravens, the crows, the giant crows. Okay? Consider the lilies. There's a lot of meditation going along here that the Bible tells us to do. You know, consider yourself, the lilies, and the ravens. It's like, have we even stopped to consider that? In a matter of faith, when we stop and consider these things, it should lead us to a faith increase. Knowing that I have relied on the strength of my arms, the strength of my own hands, which, by the way, fails as you go older. Your eyesight fails. Your mental capacity fails. Pretty soon you're trying to think of something and it's like, I used to be able to know that right off the top of my head. I don't know it now. Okay? That's happened all my life, so I'm getting used to it. But it's like, consider yourself. Consider the lilies. Where is my faith? Where do I put the majority of my belief into? The fact that I am able to get up every day, go to work, earn a living, and then, do the things that I do? Is that where my trust is? The Bible says the arm of flesh will fail you. And it will. It does. Whether you do something stupid. I almost cut my hand off the other day. Okay, it didn't get anywhere past the skin, but, it's... things can happen, and pretty soon you're crippled. Like, why? Because this is actually a fragile body. No matter how strong that we think we are, this is actually a fragile body. So where's our faith? Where's your faith? I think we ended on the ravens, consider the ravens. And God asked this question, Christ, are you not much more valuable than fowls, than birds? Aren't you? Well, yeah. He came and died for you on the cross. I mean, when you... Sometimes we ought to just stop and meditate on that for a while. I mean, because if it doesn't drive us to tears and drive us to our knees in prayer and thankfulness with God, gratefulness, it's like, wow, are we even saved? Or have we forgotten our salvation? Remember, Solomon's dad, David, after he sinned with Bathsheba, he was rebuked by Nathan, the prophet. He wrote the psalm because he actually considered his sin in the light of God's word, in the light of the love of God. And he said, O Lord, return to me the joy of thy salvation. That relationship that we had before was gone. The point where he said, my heart, like the deer pants after the water brook, my heart pants after you, my longing and my desire. Something had happened in David's life where that was no longer the truth. And he bemoaned that loss. He grieved for that. Lord, my relationship with you is out of whack here. Something's wrong. We're no longer in communication. Return to me the joy of thy salvation. That joy I had when I was first saved, and we were actually probably the most purest our relationship with God ever was. I don't know about you, I realized my sin before God. It's like, whoa! It was a heavy thing. Was it to you guys? I mean, the sin was just heavy. And when you accepted the Lord, man, it was gone. It was like, wow. Wow. I feel 20 pounds lighter. It just seemed like it, because it seemed like all the weight was right here, and it's like, whoa. And this is not my opinion. I think that was probably the purest form of our relationship with God. Because that was the first time we ever trusted God and God alone for that. For salvation. It's like, it's only you, God. I am so sorry. And so, where is our relationship with God now, today? These times are bad times. Oh, but they're going to get worse. It's like, oh, they're just going to get worse. You can't help it. These things, the Bible tells us over and over again, this thing is going to wax worse and worse. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And you'll be like the Thessalonians wondering, well, did we miss the rapture? I think we're in the tribulation already. No, no, no. Those who live godly are going to suffer persecution. And in that day, don't think of something to say. Just trust God to give you something to say. Pray. Have your relationship so right that, man, people can see that faith that lies within you. And they'll come up and ask you about it. Even Paul, I bet, had some Roman soldiers come up and say, Paul, what is it that's different about you? Well, let me introduce you to a guy named Jesus. Huh? And in his chains, trapped between two guards, he was a witness. Like, wow. Well, I could never be like Paul. Yes, you can. Yes, we can. We can be like Paul. He told Timothy, follow me as I follow Christ. And you too can be like this. Where your faith is greater than a grain of mustard seed. It's like, wow. Faith, I believe on God. Back to Luke 25, or chapter 12. And which of you, by taking thought, can add one stature to, add to a stature one cubit? I think we went through this. Because I remember saying that I sometimes wish I were taller. And then sometimes somebody said, oh, sometimes I wish I was shorter. Well, in either case, without thinking about it, I mean, by thinking about it, by concentrating, by doing whatever, can you add or subtract from your height? Nature does it. I used to be a little over 6 foot, and now I think I'm like 5'11". Barely that on a good day. I've shrunk. You know? The one doctor was saying, well, you got this disc, this, you got that disc, you got that thing. They're all kind of deteriorating. It's like, why did you have to tell me that? All I wanted to know is, can you fix me? Really, seriously. I mean, they tell you, oh, everything else is wrong. I was like, no, I just want to know what it is to fix it. Well, I could do this, but it's a 50-50 chance that it'll work. Anyway. And then we went to raiment. You know? Life, Jesus said, is more than food and raiment. More than what we wear, more than what we eat. Wow. Sometimes that's where we're wrapped up in, isn't it? Just food and raiment. Man, winter's coming along, I need a new coat. It's like, yeah, because your old ones are threadbare. They don't keep the wind out, you know, stuff like that. Oh, hunting season's coming up. I might need a new pair of hunting boots, right? Something that's waterproof, something that's light. Lightweight, something I can tramp around in the snow and mud all day, and I'm fine. Okay? It's more than food or drink. Verse 30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But, verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay. I want to point out a little caveat there. Okay. Bible tells us in another place that when you turn your heart over to God, He shall give you the desires of your heart. Okay. It doesn't mean that if you want to be a millionaire, He's going to make you a millionaire. It doesn't mean if you want to wear clothes like, I don't know, all the royal family in England, that He's going to give it to you. Doesn't mean if you want a brand new car, whether it be a Cadillac or a Rolls Royce or whatever, or a Lamborghini, it's like, wow, doesn't mean he's going to give it to you. What it means in that verse, and it's kind of weird, it means that when you turn your heart over to God, he will give you the desires that you need to have, the true desires in your heart, the true things to seek after. Okay? For married people, he will give you a desire to have a better relationship with your spouse. Okay? If you have kids, he will give you a desire to have a better relationship with your kids. He will give you a desire to have a better relationship with other people. He will give you a desire to pray more. He'll give you a desire to seek the good things of God, like Solomon did, by building the Lord's house first. To seek after the things of God first. That will be your desires. That will be our desires. Okay? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not, to a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupt. Sorry. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also. There will your heart be also. Sorry. It's like, you know, and again, where is the treasure of our heart today? Right now. I mean, what are we thinking about? Oh, I'm thinking about family this. I'm thinking about family that. Oh, I got a pot roast cooking in the slow cooker. Oh, I got this and that. I'm thinking about the cheeseburgers that we're going to have after church. Did you know that today is Cheeseburger Day, National Cheeseburger Day? And we didn't plan it, but we're going to have hamburgers with cheese. We're going to have cheeseburgers after when we get home. It's like, wow. And fries. And the air cooker cooks really crispy fries. Okay, anyway, but where is your mind now? Okay. This brief little synopsis of our time right here and now. Where is our mind right here and now? And it'll give us a good indication of where our heart is. Okay. And notice he says, where your heart is, don't think about somebody else. Wow, that brother Fred, he's like all over the place. That brother so-and-so, that sister so-and-so. No, he doesn't tell you to think about them and their treasure. He says you and your treasure. Okay. Goes back to consider your ways, not to consider somebody else's ways. Where are you in the scheme of God's handiwork? You know, God said that we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Okay. Did you know that also went for Old Testament saints too? When you believe in Jesus, when you believe in the Savior, they are looking forward to it. When you believe in the Messiah coming and dying for your sins, being the sacrifice for you, because that's what the sacrifice was all about. I remember Brother Rosencrantz was here once, and he gave us an overview of the Seder, you know, all the things, what everything stood for. Looking forward to the day that Christ came and died on the cross. Wow! That's in the Old Testament? Oh, heck yeah! Did you know that Paul never once quoted the New Testament? He never quoted the King James Version, by the way, either. But, just to let you know, because some people, that's where their heart is. I'm going to defend the King James Version because it's good enough for Jesus, good enough for me. I've heard that statement. People speaking without knowledge, without understanding. But Paul never quoted a New Testament text. He quoted Old Testament. He never quoted chapter and verse either. Why? They didn't have chapter and verses back then. They just had the entire book written down. You know? It's like, wow. Actually, it goes this way, not that way. This way, because you guys are seeing back. Anyway. And he said, where David said here, and Daniel said there, and Isaiah said here, he understood what the Bible said. Oftentimes, we here in the New Testament don't understand what the Bible says. We have our own view, which we look at it because our heart's not with God, totally. Where your treasure is. And we move on from there, because in the New Testament, the New Testament revealing all the hidden stuff in the Old Testament, it's like, wow. Revealing all the hidden stuff that God has for us, revealing all the hidden stuff that is still in the future to come. I mean, it's like the eyes are finally open. We say, wow, there was so much stuff there that I didn't know, that I should have known. I've been saved since 77. It's a lot of years. There have been a few times in my life it's like, man, I should have known this back then. There are some things even today, man, I should have known that back then and exercised it back then. Wasn't mature enough, I don't think, for some of it. Too immature. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Where God sent his Son to die for us, that we may be conformed to the image of his only begotten Son. Where God did predestinate us to be like his Son. He says, Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. Would you agree that Paul was a persecuted man? Okay. 2 Corinthians. Would you believe that Paul, agree with me that Paul was a persecuted man? Okay. We read in the book of Acts, and Pastor went through that a while back, where he was persecuted in this town, and Derbe, and Lystra, and those of Thessalonica came down, and all this stuff. Okay, he was persecuted. In Jerusalem, when he came to Jerusalem to preach, they were about ready to stone him and take him out of the city there and do away with him when the Roman soldiers came and got him and saved him. The Roman soldiers saved him, by the way. It's like, wow. Why? Because he had stuff to do. His heart was in such a place that, whatever, Lord, you teach me, whatever. So here it is, Paul. I'm going to kidnap you. You're going to be forced to go witness to the Romans. Wow. He was able to witness to quite a few Roman leaders throughout the area. Isn't that an amazing thing? We think the imprisonment was bad. No. But because he had a heart after God, his imprisonment was, I get to preach Jesus in the house of Caesar. Wow. How about if God told you that? Hey, I want you to preach Jesus in the house of Joe Biden, in the White House. I want you to do it. Well, who am I? A servant of God, a worshiper of Christ, a disciple of the only begotten Son of God. Seeing that we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Don't faint. Don't give up on it. Yeah, we can look at Solomon's life. Yeah, he fainted. He gave up on it. He came to a point where he said, oh, this is too heavy for me. Oh. And oftentimes we do that. Sunday morning, oh, this is too much for me to come to church Sunday morning. Oh, it's too much for me to come Sunday night. Really appreciate Brother Dirk. He interrupts his work. Got to work a couple hours, come to church, go back to work a couple hours, come to church. That's what you did, right? It's like, yeah. Well, he can do that. Well, he asked if he could do that. When was the last time we asked our boss that? Oh, I need to be off. No, sometimes we just rather not cause a fuss. Okay? Sometimes we'd rather faint than to stand firm. We have a ministry. This ministry is more than just passing out tracts every Saturday morning. This ministry is more than having a pocket full of tracts and passing them out everywhere you leave. This ministry is loving one another as Christ loved you. For by this they will know that you are my disciples. Our ministry is loving others as much as you love yourself, because no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Well, no. I hate certain parts. I'm beginning to hate my back, okay? Certain portions of my body. It's like, nah, work, dadgum, you work. Lisa's got a problem with her heads. It's like, well, she doesn't do that because it hurts when she does that. But, you know, it's like, work. It's like, come on. Do what you need to do. It's like, oh. But in reality, no man hates his own flesh. We make sure we're warm in the wintertime. We make sure that the boots and shoes we have are comfortable. I don't know about you, but how many people hate to walk in uncomfortable shoes? And it's like, man, it's like walking on hot coals or walking on sharp sticks. It's like, oh, you can't do that. Anybody ever step on a pine cone when you're barefooted? Oh, man. You know how many sharp points they have in a pine cone? Every one of those little leaves comes to a sharp point. Okay? I picked out 50 of them out of my foot once. Because I was dumb enough to walk. It's like, ugh. But we've been given a ministry. And as we have received mercy, have you received mercy? Every one of us, yeah, I've received mercy. I realized that I was ungodly, unholy. I was against God. I was all these things that God was not. And yet he came and died for me. He came and loved me. And when I was in whatever situation we were, in a doorstep or in church or whatever, he came to me and said, accept me. Here's my blood. Here's my body. This is for you. That's the mercy he's talking about here. As we have received mercy, we faint not. When we get ready to faint and say, oh, man, I don't know if it's worth it. Oh, gee, I just don't know. We ought to think back to the day we were saved. To the day where we knew our position before God, our absolute ungodly, unholy, devilish, satanic self before God. And he came and he enlightened us and illuminated into our mind and into our spirit. By the Holy Spirit, you are ungodly. I really do hate the stuff you do, but I love you. Come and let's have fellowship. And at that moment, it's like, whoa, yes, Lord, thank you. I accept. I accept the invitation. That's the mercy we need to remember, and faint not. Don't be weak. Don't go back. Don't walk away. Remain strong. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling of the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, living for others. That's it. When you stop and consider all that stuff, meditate it, it's like, wow, that's pretty heavy. That's pretty heavy. By all my, not renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. We walk in craftiness a lot, okay? Well, I got to remember to say this to this person. I got to remember to say that. I got to remember to act this way. Instead of living upright before God, we kind of adapt ourselves to other people in the situation we're in the environment we're in. Job. All his friends expected him to change after his stuff, after the thing, the troubles he came at, the trials. All his friends, even his wife, expected him to change. She says, what? Do you still retain your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? Because she thought he was living dishonestly. Wait a minute, you're with me day and night, woman. We do all this stuff. We have our prayers together. And I'm pretty sure I can... Pretty confident that I can say that he had prayers with his wife. That they got together and remembered what the Word of God said. Because we're not told exactly when Job was written. Okay. That's never explained. But it was enough of the Word of God was out in the area that everybody knew what God said in the area. His friends come up and said, well, you know, God's judging you. Wait a minute. You don't know nothing about my life then, my friend. But you have renounced the hidden things dishonestly, not walking in craftiness, not walking in deceitfulness by our own mind, handling the Word of God and not handling the Word of God deceitfully. You ever heard somebody handle the Word of God deceitfully? Have you? Well, I think you have. If you bow down and worship me, I will give you all of this stuff. Have you read that in the Bible? Okay. If you worship me, I will make you as a king. If you do this in front of me, he was handling the Word of God deceitfully. If you cast yourself off of this, the Bible says that not a stone is going to dash on your foot. You know, the angels will rescue you. Did he not use the Word of God deceitfully? How about in the garden? Yea, hath not God said? He was quoting God directly. Yea, hath not God said? It was scriptural, but not very spiritual. Okay? Not according to the Word of God. Not according to what God said. Of every tree except those two. And she chose one. Okay? Handling the Word of God deceitfully. And how many times have you heard people preaching? I know one guy said he went down to the second harvest, telling people, oh, if you believe in Jesus, you don't have to do this. Well, then why were you down at the second harvest getting food too? It's like, you hypocrite. He was using the Word of God deceitfully. I pointed that out to him to his face. I said, what the heck? You were there. It's like, what the heck? You can't tell people that. Because now they're not going to believe in God because of their sin. They're going to believe in God because, oh, you're going to feed me. How about the feeding of the 5,000? They were there the second time that he fed a bunch of people. That's what people were there for. You're here just so I can feed you. You don't care about feeding on the Word of God. Some people come to churches for food, for handouts. How many calls a week do you get for that? I know Pastor Akeley, he got a bunch of calls. You've said that you've got a bunch of calls. People coming in, oh, we need help. We need gas money. And there they are with a fat dog and about $500-$600 worth of clothes. Man, it's like, wow. This Camp Hope down here. You know, for people who have no money, they got a lot of stuff. They got campers and they got cars. It amazes me how much people who have no food, no income, no whatever, how much trash they generate. If somebody actually cared about their health, they would say, hey, you can't eat all that food that you eat, because they go out, they buy fast food, they buy pre-processed food, highly processed food. Ooh, food with high fructose corn syrup in it. If they really cared, they'd be down there, sorry, you can't eat that. Here, we'll get you some beans and rice. No, I like beans and rice, sorry. But it's like, you know, they want to use the Word of God deceitfully. Sometimes we do too. But, as is how we live, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We live our life, or we are to live our life, thinking about other people, about their benefit. Is what I am going to do or say going to benefit them spiritually? Maybe not physically so much, but spiritually. However, there is a thing sometimes that what we do and say should affect them physically. If you see a brother who is cold and is hungry, and all you do is say to him, hey, I'm praying for you, be warm and be full, you are using the Word of God deceitfully, because you've done nothing to help alleviate the situation. Brother Ekno, for people that can't go out and get a job, for actually people who cannot go out and get a job, okay? Not for people who say they can't go out and get a job. These people are handicapped, but yet you see them carry two or three shopping carts loaded with stuff, and they are physically able to grab those things a couple miles every day, travel around the city, uphill and downhill, because we have hills. So physically they're able to do that. And plus they got the mental capacity to say, hey, if I'm here at this place at this time on this day, I can get stuff for free. If I go knock on that door over there at this time on this day, even though it's only once a month, they happen to be there, there's a long line, I can get stuff for free. They're able to figure this stuff out. But our life is to be lived to be careful of somebody else's conscience. Paul, at the end of his life, said, no one, no man can come up and say to me that I have cheated him, that I was dishonest in front of him. And all my life I have not grieved the Holy Spirit of God. He could say those and be confident that he was speaking the truth. It's like, wow, I wish I could say that. I can. All I got to do is change my life. Change the desires of my heart. Change where the treasure is. All right, last time. Oh, and I apologize to this class. When the guys were coming in last week, I yelled at them to shut up. I apologize. My wife said, oh, you were just a little over the top there. And I've been thinking about it. Like, oh, maybe I was a little over the top. I apologize. But, he says, but if our gospel is hid, it is to hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commandeth the light to shine in darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Ooh, I like that part. God has shined his glory into your heart. Isn't that an amazing thing? Shouldn't that fill us with some sort of joy, like we walk light-headed or light-stepped? It's like, yeah. So that way we come to church with a smile on our face. I'm going to go commune with my God who loved me and has filled my heart with his glory. And yet sometimes it's like, oh, it's just a drag to be here. Oh, it's even on people's faces. I will not smile. I don't care how many jokes the pastor cracks, I will not smile. I am just going to sit here. Oh, they'll smile when, you know, when the song leader misses words and verses and everything, or when the pianist does a ten-fingered pileup. Heck, people even laugh then in church. Ah, otherwise they show no emotion whatsoever. Again, I want to end this with the verse in Haggai. Consider yourself. Consider the fowls. Consider the lilies in their light, in the faith that they have. And consider yourself and how faithless you are. Nehemiah considered this when he said, God, we have sinned against you. And he was so brokenhearted it brought him to tears. Well, I can't cry. I'm a man. I'm a man of God. I cannot cry. Yeah, there are times we need to cry. There are times we ought to cry. When we pray for our children, when we pray for our spouses, when we pray for our loved ones, those are the times that we need to cry. When we pray for the lost, we need to cry. When we pray for our country, we need to cry out to God about our country. Like Nehemiah, God, Israel is in shambles because, and Jerusalem is in shambles because of what we did. How about crying for this country? God, our country is in shambles because of what we have allowed as Christians, as children of God. That's what I have. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, we thank you for our time together. Father, I pray that you illuminate your word into our hearts. Father, that your very Spirit of God would touch us, Lord, and that we would respond. Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would just watch over us in the upcoming service. Father, be with Pastor, Lord, give him the words, the Holy Spirit, that he needs to speak these things. Father, speak the truth. Father, I pray and ask, Lord, you just continue to be with us. For Christ's name I pray. Amen.